Hey folks, this podcast is getting exciting. In fact, Eric and I were just chatting pre-show. We literally have the first podcast that's launched, like as in minutes ago, and we're quite excited. We have a feature where we can record certain ones and play them as live, just for convenience sake for you. But Eric, that was pretty cool to see few dozen people just jumping in, and we have yet to even really talk about it. So how does it make you feel?
It's exciting stuff. You know, it's definitely a topic that a lot of people are excited to learn about. And like I said, I mentioned it before, it's something that everybody should be interested in. You know, give it a listen, you know, do your own research if you even want to go further into the space. You know, I think it's something interesting, and it's definitely going to be a foundational part of our future. Whether it's you know, finances, social media, you know, the way we interact with each other. So it's going to be, you know, big. It's definitely going to be something big.
Yeah. Well, and what else is cool, you're kind of the staple co-host here. And then I bring in a few people. We have some episodes about, I just booked an NFT artist.
Oh, wow.
And so she's going to talk about there's some blockchain security people. I just feel like, man, I cannot get enough of this topic. I'm not saying, well, I'm just going to do one a week. I'm literally reaching out to people, sharing my calendar link and saying, let's talk. And I take notes, and you've been kind of my teacher, even though you're half my age. you've been my teacher for, 9 months now or so. And this is exciting, but I feel like there's so many new things. Did you hear about Steph Curry dropping his new shoe as an NFT?
Yeah. I saw that. It was a commemorative shoe to celebrate, you know, him breaking the 3-point record. What's cool about the shoe, you know, it's limited to the amount of shots. I think it was like 2,974, something around that number, and you can wear that shoe in the metaverse, you know, something we'll touch on today. And it's something that's very, very cool. Think about it as, you know, it's something along the lines of having that verified badge on Twitter. You know, you have that on Twitter versus, you know, in a virtual world, you're wearing the Steph Curry shoes, people will notice. You're like, wow, he has one of those, you know, commemorative shoes. Something really cool.
Definitely. It is cool. And what's interesting is, yes, we're going to talk about NFTs today. We're going to talk about metaverse. I even, it's like I'm just dialed in now to this. Not in a bad way. I don't mean this is an arrogant way at all. But each year I kind of plan for what's coming. And as I was thinking and planning for my next year, again, not in an arrogant way, but in a way that aligns with my passions, I'm pretty much saying if somebody doesn't have blockchain in their future, in other words, if they're opposed to it, I really don't think that we align. Mm-hmm. Now, and I, you know, that might sound like, what are you talking about? But I just feel like, you know, I'm doing some of the same stuff that I did last year to kind of finish out the year, and I'm bored by it.
Yeah. You know?
And then we get on blockchain and I'm like, whoa. I mean, with blockchain just this week, and again, some of this sounds crazy, but you might already know this, but do you know they have digital models now?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know about that?
Like fashion models?
Yes. Like, in other words, because they want to save on resources, and I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about like just, you know, the time, the clothes, the lights, the camera. They actually have the first official, and it's African-American digital model. Mm-hmm. And she's already in several company ads. Like, companies are hiring her out. So there's a digital model agency now that has created 5 digital models, different ethnicities. Wow. Isn't this nuts?
Yeah, it's crazy.
They have Instagram accounts, the digital model. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And wow. And again, some people might be like, this is absolutely nuts. But here, I want to give people an example of a lawyer that I heard this week. A lawyer had his 11-year-old build a law firm in the metaverse because he's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And he says, I want to be the first in the metaverse. And all I'm going to do is create on my plot, you know, of land, which again, all this is brand new to me, but I love it. But he basically said, look, there's going to be legal issues in decentralized.
Yeah.
I'd rather have my office have a space there with my business card where I can actually help people. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people. You showed my son and I the other day, and my mind was blown. let's get into that. Axie Infinity. Let's get into NFTs, the metaverse.
Yeah.
Blow our minds, Eric.
Well, first, you know, let's talk about NFTs. You know, NFTs is a hot topic. I think it was one of the words of the year in one of the dictionaries. Yeah, so that's huge, you know. Basically, non-fungible token, very, you know, that's what it stands for. And essentially, what it is that it gives a digital identity to some sort of digital object. So let's say I have a picture of, a picture of that I took of you, Carrie, a nice action shot. And, you know, Carrie, you're super famous, and everybody wants the picture. I can now create it as an NFT. And essentially has this digital ID to it. So just like anybody can go and view the Mona Lisa in the museum, somebody owns it. I'm sure the museum owns it. Well, it'll be very similar to that. Like people can, you know, look at your picture online and see it there. But at the end of the day, whoever owns it, which let's say it's you, Carrie, owns that piece of digital art. So some people are like, oh, that makes, you know, no sense. I can just like right click and save that piece of art. But at the end of the day, you do not own it. And the blockchain indicates who therefore owns it. And what's interesting about that is it's become super popular, especially on social media. That's kind of how it came to light. People were buying NFTs and their so-called PFP NFTs, profile picture NFTs. So I'm sure you guys have heard of, you know, CryptoPunks or the Apes and things like that. And but essentially, you know
what? Maybe they haven't.
Maybe they haven't. Oh, well.
No, in fact, my audience probably, again, I don't want to insult them, but I've invited my audience to come with me on this journey. And I bet you a lot of them, unless they're just, you know, OGs and they want to like find out about this more, but I bet you a lot of them don't even know about CryptoPunks or the Bored Apes. So can you even share like that cultural phenomenon now, like how celebrities are buying them and they're $250,000 for a JPEG. Again, like people think that's nuts, but talk about the community behind it and the status and social currency as well.
That is, you know, that's exactly where this came into play, where it brought came to light, that specific social currency aspect of it. Like, as we'll talk about, a lot of things have different use cases, but that's how things came to light. And essentially, CryptoPunks were these NFTs that they were actually free. CryptoPunks came out as free. You just had to pay, I think it was like the gas fee. As we talked about one of the earlier episodes, you have to pay gas fees for transactions and you have to pay the gas fee to mint it. And they were free. And, you know, over time it started as, okay, if you own CryptoPunks, that means you're kind of an OG and an original person.
Gangster. Yeah.
Yeah. An original person in the crypto space. So if you're owning a CryptoPunk, like, oh wow. You know, people started viewing others as, oh, he owns a CryptoPunk. Like, he has my respect. And this is just purely in the crypto space when it first started, you know, like other people in crypto, like, okay, that person has a CryptoPunk, like a sense of respect comes with that. And, you know, then it became sort of a sense of community. Okay, like if you own that CryptoPunk, now you're like in a higher place than other people in the space, because either you were early to that movement or you have the funds to acquire, because now they have appreciated and they became relatively expensive. And then it started to leak.
We're not talking like $100 expensive.
No, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars. There's been CryptoPunks that sold for over $1 million. And this is a little like it's a pixelized person. And there's like only 10,000 of them. And the main use for people to have them is they put them as a profile picture on Twitter, you know, Instagram, mostly Twitter, but, you know, across all their different social media platforms. And So yeah, it started with the CryptoPunks, and that caught a lot of, you know, buzz in the media. Celebrities started buying them, you know, $1 million sales for these pictures, these digitalized pictures of little like cartoons. And then, you know, going forward, more people started developing their own versions of these projects. And then another one that's very popular, which actually just surpassed CryptoPunks in value, is called Bored Ape Yacht Club. And essentially is these drawings of these apes, 10,000 of them once again. And they're like, they have these set of attributes, but they're computer generalized into like attributes, just randomness. So it could be one with a black shirt, just like me, black shirt, chain, glasses. And it can be one like Carrie, gray shirt, no glasses. Yeah, no hair, things like that. And, you know, and then different things could be rare. There could be maybe only two bald, you know, bored apes. Yeah. And, you know, having one of those is rarer than the others. So, you know, they vary in price. But, you know, I think the cheapest one now is well above $200,000. And that's scary, scary. Pretty scary, much scary. Only from the social currency standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were to have one of these as your profile picture, I've seen people post it that they get one and they put it as their profile picture. And by the end of the week, they have acquired 10,000 new followers just for having that.
Okay, so now we're getting into some of the utility. Okay, grow your social media following. Like, let's be real. There's some people that have probably created business partnerships because, oh, that person has a bored ape, so I'm gonna follow them. Oh, look, they're also a XYZ professional, and now I'm gonna lean in. So in many ways, you know, you have Rolexes or whatever that for years. I mean, again, if we got haters today that might say like, what is today's youth? Back in the day, they had a feather, you know, with a headdress. And if you had that feather, you were all that, or you were a mighty warrior. You know, Rolexes. Would somebody buy a Rolex if no one else existed on planet Earth? I don't know. So, you know, some of these things only exist because we have a community. But you've also mentioned that the Bored Ape Yacht Club also has other benefits. Like, didn't they have some mutant thing?
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to have events? You know, who knows? What do you think the community is going to do?
Well, I know they had this thing, big week in New York City called NFT Week. And, you know, I'm from New York City. It was something I'd never seen before. All the billboards in Times Square had different NFTs on it. So it's a little surreal starting to see, like, you know, crypto become, you know, more mainstream.
Oh, my gosh.
But they had, since it was NFT Week, basically a lot of big projects, they had these very exclusive events where you can only attend if you had that NFT. So I know Bored Ape Yacht Club had an actual yacht party. You had to be a holder to attend that. I own something called Atom Bombs. They're, I don't know if you guys heard of it. It's a clothing brand called The Hundreds, and they came out with their own NFTs. I happened to get one of my buddies. Like, oh, these are cool. I was like, okay, I got one. I invited to a party, which was open bar exclusive with Steve Aoki as a DJ. He's like a famous DJ. So it was a private party, and if you had that NFT, you could join. So that's some of the utilities that come with kind of like these social community-driven.
Interesting.
NFTs. And then along with that, like you mentioned, some of these projects, they continue to have other projects that they come out with. So the Bored Apes, they had a mutant ape yacht club where it's like sort of these apes, but they're mutated. And if you were a holder of this Bored Ape, you receive an airdrop basically allowing you to purchase or to create one of these mutant apes. And that alone generates income for you, just because since the Bored Ape Yacht Club, it's already well renowned and things are reselling for absurd amounts. Anything by them now is automatically going to be worth more because there's so many people that want only limited amount. So yeah. Things like that, but that's more of a social aspect. NFTs are starting to have utility way further, deeper than that. They actually have more effect that can produce income. There's NFTs that are literally income producing assets besides, you know, appreciation of, you know, an ape image because, you know, the community thinks it's cool, which is perfectly fine.
Sure.
But there's now that there's more that have utility where you can actually produce income with it. An example would be This is where we get into metaverse and gaming.
Yep.
So NFTs, you know, they allow this digital identity for goods. So now people are starting to apply them for tools you can use, let's say, within games. Before, you know, an example is, you know, Fortnite or Roblox. People pay money into these traditional video games and they buy something. Let's say they want to look like Spider-Man. They buy a Spider-Man skin. It's called a skin or a cosmetic. And then they could go around playing the same game, Fortnite game or whatever, and they just look like Spider-Man. It's really cool. You know, you're playing with your buddies. Oh, look, I got the Spider-Man skin. You know, it's a cool, fun time. But, however, the value ends there. The value ends at you owning it and playing with it in the game. You cannot extract that value out.
Yep.
Now, with NFTs, you can buy this skin as an NFT, and you can turn around and sell that as well. Or, you know, you can turn around and gift that to a buddy. All these other things aren't so much so allowed in a traditional game. So now that's just a skin, you know, it's more cosmetic, more social currency once again. But then let's say in a different game, let's talk about Axie Infinity now. Axie Infinity is the most popular crypto game. And it came to popularity so much so for one main reason, is that it allowed players to earn income through playing the game every day. So, you know, you can own, let's say, land in the game. You can now work this land to create these resources, which another player could use to build up their character in the game. Let's say your character needs, you know, food. Let's say milk and eggs to make your character strong to fight other characters in the game. You can have farmland, which you own as an NFT. Mm-hmm. And now you can farm these resources on that land and then sell those resources as other NFTs. And players can incorporate that into their characters in the game. And then let's say, you know, it becomes some sort of alternate economy because
it does.
You know, it does. Somebody is creating this food, right? Whatever, they're farming their land. Now they turn around and sell it to somebody. Let's say you carry, let's say your job in the metaverse, what you do, and this is how you produce your income, is that you build up these characters through using the resources and combining them and, let's say, training them in the game, playing with them. And then once they're built up, you turn around and sell them to somebody else for a profit. Now, some people might think, you know, that's a lot of work. That sounds absurd. Why don't I just work in the real world? Well, the thing is, this provides an alternate labor economy that is more open and more accessible than anything else in the world. Anybody in the world can tune in with internet and computer and play this game and do all these things. And what's interesting about that is that there's third world countries, like, you know, Southeast Asia, example, Philippines, things like that, Taiwan maybe, and then there's Latin American countries as well where people earn maybe $5 to $10 a day. And through playing these games all day, they can make anywhere between like $40 to $60 a day, which, you know, and then in turn can drastically change their life by five times, six times their income of what they make in whatever job, you know, for whatever reason they're fortunate enough to work in real life. The metaverse is more open and more accessible. So, for example, naturally, someone here in the United States, we're much more fortunate working, let's say, a minimum wage job, we'd make more than $60 a day. But then, like I said, there's different roles. They sell those tokens to somebody else, and that somebody else might be, you know, us. We want to play the game and we can battle each other, and that's our game. This is how we make, you know, money in our game and how we have fun. So we buy these resources, implement it to our characters, build them up, and now we play them, you know, and that already exists in the gaming world.
It's true. One of my clients, we'll bring him on a future show. I won't disclose his name yet, but he actually has teams
mm-hmm.
that he's built of Axie Infinity players. So it's almost like, you know, a casual observer can think this is nuts. But when you think about a football owner
mm-hmm.
who literally buys, let's say, the Green Bay Packers, you know, love Green Bay Packers. but, you know, they're stockholders, right?
Yeah.
For the Green Bay team. And they hire a manager, and the manager has to have a certain amount of tickets sold. And from ticket sales, they can purchase players, and these players can actually have great lives. I mean, this is literally happening, but not in a fictitious game, a real world. It's happening in a fictitious game, the metaverse.
What it is, honestly, is it is a game. However, with the allowance of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency and NFTs, all this combines to now create, like I said, this alternate economy. And the fact that you can make real income from this and, you know, do all these things just like a functioning economy where somebody like your friend can have a team of players use his assets, his NFTs, and produce income. They make money off the income. He makes returns on, you know, the assets that he lends out. And it starts to become this, you know, alternate reality just because it produces income.
It's crazy.
You know, it produces income like a real business, you know, except it all happens in the metaverse. Who is to say this is not, you know, reality? Because at the end of the day, it is producing income. It's an alternate economy.
I've heard that someday a lot of gaming companies are chatting about how you can go from different metaverses to different metaverses, almost like, you know, China to the US to France. But you're going to be able to take your assets and your social currency, even Steph Curry's shoes. I believe you can take them into several.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, this is all thankfully to, you know, blockchain technology. And it's such a way that, let's say, if you're all built on the same layer one network, layer one protocol, as we spoke about in a previous episode, you know, with Ethereum, other layer ones, if you're all on the same layer one, it's almost so that you can, you know, take your Steph Curry shoes, go from one world that's in that same like layer one, move it to another world, use it there, and, you know, vice versa, and different things like that. So it's definitely exciting. And something to note is that accessibility, that openness that, you know, anybody can access it and how you can move it around. It makes it very exciting. And that is why the assets have appreciated so quickly and so fast. And, you know, for two reasons. One, it's an emerging market. You know, since, you know, the value of the total market was already low to begin with, an influx of money, you know, creates a drastic change. But it's also more fun, more interactive, and more accessible than their physical counterparts.
Yeah. And I want people to realize, yes, we're focusing on gaming today. But just like we mentioned the lawyer, you know, some of my audience are faith people. It might already exist, but I see a church being built in the metaverse.
100%.
100%. Mm-hmm. Like, why would someone not create a church that is a place of worship, and then people can go to the church, they can ask questions about faith, and they may get helped in the metaverse, and or they might get told, you know what, hey, why don't you pop off on Zoom and we'll have a separate chat, or hey, why don't you come to our churches down the street? Like, this is the whole blurring of worlds that I just saw the Matrix 4. And the first 30 minutes of the Matrix 4, unbelievable. I mean, but you know, the second, third, and the third, okay. You know, it was fun, it was fighting, but the first third, you don't know what world he's in. You don't know if he's in, you know, the real world, the metaverse of the metaverse. And you're just like, I saw it, and knowing, having chatted with you, I was like, dang, this is happening. It's unbelievable. So give us some more practical examples, because I know some people are just like, yeah, I'm not into gaming, and they'll miss the whole NFT thing. You also mentioned it's really like a ticket, but someday could you see that when you go buy a Toyota or a Ford, that literally they're also going to give you on your phone an NFT that has like the VIN number, blockchain number, and you're not going to be able to have certain uses with that vehicle unless you have the NFT. This will prevent theft. I mean, you see what I'm talking? I mean, my brain's
gone for a
while, because I'm a crazy thinker. So I've just been processing like, oh my gosh, this is going to change. If anybody thinks that, well, we're in this industry, so it's not going to affect us, NFTs, blockchain, cryptocurrency, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, I'm just saying they're clueless. What do you think?
Well, this is what I'll say. So, like I said, we mentioned before, this happened before with Web 2.0, where the internet was coming, people were like, for example, cell phones. Oh, I don't want people to call me all the time. That's so weird. Why would people have access to me all the time? Or why do people text? That's so dumb. You can just call. Why would I text people? You know, and it goes down the list of lines of things, and now people, you know, use all those things as part of our society. And what I would say about Web3 is that, you know, it's early. There isn't a lot. It hasn't breached into too many fields. It started specifically first with finance. It reached into finance, still hasn't reached as 1% of its full potential there, I believe. So it starts reaching into social media, you know, hasn't reached its full potential there. What I'd say is, you know, it's important to understand your specialty. As we spoke about, you know, the other day, everybody has their specialty in what they do, you know. And I think it's important to realize, to understand, and to think about that their specialty aligned with this new and up and coming opportunity can, you know, create something. Like you said, nobody, you don't think anybody has a church in Web3. I'm sure, you know, if you had a church in Web3, there's going to be people that show up. Like,
it's going to be so popular. People are going to
show up because it's, like I said, it's so openly accessible from anywhere in the world. You get on the computer and you get in and you, excuse me, and you log on. What you told me earlier about that lawyer, I think people might not even understand what that is. There's thousands and thousands, millions of people that go into Decentraland and they walk around. And what he paid for is prime time advertising real estate. All these people from all over the world that otherwise would not have a clue of to who he is, if they walk by that in the metaverse, they will see Metaverse Lawyer XXX, like whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And that is insane. And
it is insane.
Going forward,
his 11-year-old daughter built it. And you know, land is not cheap. So let's just talk about this for somebody. I mean, there's been land in Decentraland, I'm told, that easily $90,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were with my son the other day. Remember that? Did we see a piece of land for $4 million? Was it $4 million?
Something like that, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, it was like one of the original – it was the Genesis block.
Yeah, it was one of the first pieces
for
of land.
For Axie Infinity or something.
Yeah, for Axie. That's right.
Yeah. So – what I want people to realize is, like, yeah, you could go buy a $4 million amazing house and live in it. And again, my generation, I'm 45. It sounds nuts to say, oh, I'm going to spend $100,000 on a piece of digital land. But you're saying that digital land, imagine if somebody could have built in Central Park or New York City. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine New York City being 100, 200, 300 years ago, and all of a sudden you can build a piece of land on Main Street. But now New York City is not the most densely populated. Now it's the metaverse. So now you have billions of people that 24/7 can access your land. Dude, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's something exciting. And what's interesting is that, you know, I'd say maybe 10 years on the line, we could look back at this podcast and, you know, people could probably make fun of us like, these guys are so old. Like,
they're gonna be
so advanced. And exactly. They're going to be so advanced and so just forward thinking at that point that these guys are old. And, you know, some people, like I said, not everybody accepts it. A lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people don't want to understand it, so they push it to the side, you know, kind of how you mentioned. Oh, who would want to text? Who doesn't text nowadays? Who doesn't?
My doctor texts me when I order a prescription. When I order a prescription, Walgreens texts me and says, hey, you know, your prescription's ready. So, like, again, you're right. 20 years ago, we couldn't even see the internet, what was going to happen. And then you're right. That's how I feel like today blockchain is. I was doing an interview with Pete. You know of Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying we're like in the first inning of the baseball game. Like if people think, oh, I missed it. I missed blockchain because now it's $50,000 a Bitcoin or whatever. Would you agree that we are so in the early stages?
Let me explain something to you, Harry. Have you ever met an accountant that will tell you he specializes in doing accounting for cryptocurrency? I've never met one, but I'll tell you something. That is something that almost everybody will need now because everybody's starting to get involved in that. And just like there's an accountant for that, like you said, there's going to be a lawyer for that. There's going to be a publisher just like you that specializes in that. There's going to, you know, and there just starts to open a whole sea of just, you know, things that you want to get involved in. And like I said, these are things that people need nowadays. And yeah, the need is going to only going to continue growing. Adidas bought land and they're going to have this thing on Metaverse.
And let's talk about Nike though, because Nike, what I heard that they did recently is they said, you know what? We know we need to get in this space, but we can't start from square one. So they actually bought, they bought a digital sneaker company and essentially fast tracked it. So that's another option. People today could be like, you know, instead of starting at zero, they could actually come alongside a consultant. They could come alongside someone in the space and they could pay to get to the front of the line very quickly.
Yeah. And that, for example, for Nike, that makes complete sense. But I also think, like I said, there's just so much opportunity. Like everybody is still almost at the starting line.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of, you know, ideas that people haven't explored, people haven't done. There's people that can do consulting for, you know, almost about just about anything. Oh, how to create. There is a need right now for people just to help other people start their their crypto focused companies. Like people don't know where to start. There's a need just for that. You know, absolutely. There's a need for accounting, for lawyer, for publishing, for almost everything, for artists, for programmers. It's just going to keep on going. And what people will say is, okay, I don't see people just going on this virtual world. Okay, well, you don't see that. But what about when, you know, more job opportunities start to happen in the metaverse, where I was telling you there's not jobs, but you can play the game and earn $60 a day. It's going to get deeper than that. Now people are going to start paying more to do a little bit more complicated things.
Yeah.
We're going to start paying more and more. So eventually it's going to get to a point where, like I said, it is the most open and accessible alternative labor market. And it's going to continue to grow and expand to the point where, you know, people are just going to end up working in the metaverse. You almost already do. You already work on the internet.
Sure.
You basically already do.
The pandemic made it so that, I mean, people used to laugh at me and be like, what? You don't have office space? Your company's virtual? And then all of a sudden now, after they built a 4-story building that they haven't been able to even use because of the pandemic, they're like, dang. Maybe that's smart. You know, I didn't try to be smart. I just didn't have the capital to build a 4-story office building. Well, just in conclusion, Eric, because I know we're getting out of time, but this is so much fun, and you have my word, man. Every day I'm studying this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be bringing you. You know, at the beginning, Eric would tell me everything, and now we're at least talking because he's helped me so much. But what I think that this is going to accelerate, we were talking to Pete the other day, and he, you know, Pete's great at all these laws of technology and stuff. But he basically said that because blockchain is open, because there's a decentralized world that we now live in, the speed of technology, unlike the internet that was kind of like slow and took, you know, 20, 30 years to really get into the culture. You said it. I mean, who knew the word NFT in January 2021? And now it's like one of the most Googled. I mean, Saturday Night Live did a spoof on it in April. You know, I mean, that's how fast it went. So do you agree that because of the open source and the community and the decentralization and the, you know, not trusting the man and the corporate, you think we're going to just have this speed?
Listen, Kerry, you mentioned it earlier with that 11-year-old girl built something that accessible. Nobody at 11 years old had, you know, the open door to build something so publicly accessible to that before. Like that is, you know, anybody, you know, 12-year-old sitting at home in his underwear in his desk with his mom telling him like lunch is ready, can be building, creating, you know, insane projects.
I'm going to show you this. This is, you said 12-year-old, ready for this? So just today I followed this 12-year-old girl named Nyla.
Mm-hmm.
That's her NFTs. They're called the Long Neck Ladies.
Yeah.
And she followed me back, which is cool. She already made $4 million.
Yeah.
As a 12-year-old on making NFTs.
Yeah, it's accessible to anybody, anywhere, of any age. And because of that, it's going to drive competition. It's going to drive progress. It's going to drive innovation. And that's why it's going to be fast. It also has the shoulders of previous technology. Technology moves exponentially faster because it has the shoulders of the previous technology to build from, you know.
Yes.
But just that openness that anybody's able to participate in is going to drive competition, innovation, and it's going to be unreal, the speed of as which we see this coming.
I'm excited. I'll tell you what, man, this has been a blast. Oh, I'm getting some reverb. Are you getting reverb?
What's that?
Echoing. I'm getting some echoing of myself. Oh, no. It's crazy. Hold on, let me mute you. Sweet. Okay. So, folks, we're going to wrap it up. Just the last 10 seconds, I got reverb. It's all good. It's a little echo. But this is Eric Diaz. He's the man of the hour. I mean, he knows his stuff. He's been a friend and chatting with me. He's going to be kind of like, a staple in the show. And then we'll be bringing on some of these artists like Nyla and all these crazy people. So, Eric, I'm going to mute myself, but I'm going to unmute you and let you say goodbye to everybody.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. You know, comment below any questions, anything you want us to cover, and we'll be happy, to talk about it.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you.